Everybody. Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well and having a wonderful week so far. Sure are blessed, aren't we? God is so great. Absolutely. Amen, amen, amen. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Want to keep in prayer all those that are traveling, those that are sick, those that aren't able to be with us this evening. And I know we're got the prayer requests that come over on our text blast, and it's I know if I start speaking them, there'll be someone I'll forget. So we're just going to let the Lord knows everyone. But if anyone out in Congress, yes, Miss Lori, go right ahead. Yes. Yes. Yes, well, she does need prayer, absolutely. We know God knows the situation, but we're just going to lift her up to Him. Anyone else on my right side tonight with a spoken prayer request? Yes, Miss Tabitha. Right. Absolutely. We sure will pray for him. Anyone else on my right side tonight? All righty. Anyone on the left side that has a spoken prayer request tonight? Yes, ma'am. Friday? Okay. Absolutely. We want to lift her up. So many others are having procedures and all the prayer requests that's gone forward. Any more? I don't want to miss anyone.
Request prayer for a couple of family situations that in my family.
Yes, ma'am. Brother Greg. Definitely continue. Absolutely. And I know it's hard for you watching online, to hear. We don't have a mic out on the floor, and I apologize for that, but there are a lot of prayer requests. And that God is greater than anything that comes against us. We just ask Him for those that are having surgery, those that are having procedures. We have those that had surgery that are now recovering, and we thank God for bringing them through safely and to just continue to heal each and every one. And for those spoken and unspoken prayer requests, if you have an unspoken, just show by the raising of your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, God, we just love you. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings, dear Lord. We thank you. And we just want to praise you, dear Lord, for all that you are. Lord, we would lift you up. We want to honor you. Dear Lord, as we call on your name tonight, dear Lord, as we open this service, Lord, we're just with expectations, dear Lord, for your word to go forth tonight. Dear Lord, for just feel your holy presence. Lord, we know you're with us at all times, but dear Lord, as we gather together in the comfort of this sanctuary, dear Lord, where we can feel safe, and dear Lord, where we can just come to you and just release those burdens, those prayer requests, those needs, dear Lord, we lift each and every one of them up to you tonight, dear Lord. For those that are watching online, dear Lord, their needs, dear Lord, their prayers, dear Lord, situation where they're watching us live or at a later date, Lord, we know that once your word goes forth, dear Lord, that it will just continue to flow, dear Lord, that we just praise you, we honor you. Lord, we ask you now to bless our pastor and his family, strengthen them as they're on vacation this week. Lord, for them to have safe travels, dear Lord, and for relaxation. And, dear Lord, for those that are having procedures this week too, Lord, we ask you just to touch and be with each and every one of us, dear Lord. Lord, we praise you again, dear Lord, and we just give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. I've asked Sister Susan and Sister Tabitha to do a song tonight, and Miss Jennifer. Y'all two, come on up and grab a mic, and we're going to have a congregational this evening. We're going to go to page 177. Are you washed in the blood? I know we've just done it recently, but I just feel led that this is the song that we just need to sing tonight. Have you been washed in the blood? As we're getting ready, I love that song, and it was just really talking to me, and as the message has been going forth, about the preciousness of God and the precious life that Jesus Christ shed, that he shed that precious blood for you and I, that it's time. And those questions you want to almost ask people, are you washed in the blood? Do you know Jesus? It is a time and day, that an hour, that each and every one of us need to continue to spread the word of the Lord in his many blessings and just praise God. But I want to remind each and every one of you to be in much prayer for July 9th through 12th. It's our vacation Bible school. I know there's a lot of work going out for it, a lot of excitement, a lot of buzz, and just want to continue to pray for that and for the ones that are setting everything up and directing it this year. We just always love each year that time of this time of year, so we just love it. There's a lot going on this summer. I'm seeing people that are back from vacation, those that are fixing to go, those that are back and forth on the road. But continue to pray for each and every one that's traveling. As I said, our pastor and all the others that we know is out of town. And I know a few of us have trips coming up pretty quick, so we're really excited about it. But also a good time that we can just enjoy the peace that God gives us. And that we just thank him for his many blessings. That's the only message that I have tonight, announcement. I don't know if there's any. I do know around the 4th, July 5th, there's going to be an ice cream social. Looking forward to that. But want to continue to be in prayer for each and every ministry that goes forth. All righty. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering, then we'll call on some special singers. Thank you, Brother Chris. Putting it all on you tonight. Ask you just to ask the Lord to bless it too.
Why should I worry?
Is it going in and out there too? Okay. All right then. We're going to sing There's a Miracle in the Making. Praise the Lord.
Just 1, 2, check.
If you haven't.
And that's on that right ear. I can't hear nothing out of.
If you haven't thought about it recently, just remember that if you've been praying, there's a miracle in the making for you today. The crowd was great, but she knew she had to reach him. 'Cause this was her last hope of ever being healed. So she pressed through until she touched his garment.
Situation that we're going through. Praise God. Got a special treat tonight. Brother Chris is going to be bringing the word, and we'll just go ahead and call on him now. Everybody just say, God bless Brother Chris. Amen.
You know, when I was a younger man, it took me less time to go from the back of the church to the front of the church. Just saying. And I wasn't as winded either. Just saying. I blame it on the age. Not the extra, well, you know. Age. Amen. You know, I'm thankful that the Lord hears us. I'm thankful that we can call on Him at any time of the day or night. This morning, as I was going down the road praying, as I do every morning, I was just thankful because, you know, you don't see very many people on the road. The fact of the matter is most people with sense are still asleep. And I can go to God with whatever is on my heart. I don't have to wake Him up. I don't have to wait for Him to call me back. I don't have to leave a voicemail message. He's right there in the car with me. And I just thank Him for that. This message has really been stirring on my heart for a little while now. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 6, very familiar red letter passage of Scripture that we're going to be in tonight. If I had a title for the message tonight, it would just simply be Power in Prayer. Power in Prayer. I want to bring out some things about prayer that you may or may not have known about, and hopefully energize your prayer life. We have this little jump box. Anybody know what a jump box is? Anybody go, okay, a jump box is something that jumps off a vehicle. We have this little jump box that they ordered special for me. And Brother Keith, when I first saw it, the thing's little, you know, and I thought, well, that ain't going to be nothing. And I've seen it jump off big old semi trucks, you know, and now it's like, man, that's the power right there. There's power in prayer. And a lot of people overlook prayer because they maybe think it's not important or not significant enough, but it is a privilege and an honor. I just want to read a couple verses right here, then I'll let you sit down. After this manner, this is Jesus speaking here. Therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, we forgive our debtors. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jim, if you'll open. Can be seen. First off, Jesus makes it clear that the Christian has a father-child relationship with God, hence our Father. God is God to everybody, but He is Father to the believer. Those in covenant relationship with Him through the blood of Jesus. God is the God of the whole world. Amen? But He is Father only to everyone who is born again of the Spirit of God and the Word. This is why the Bible calls God the Father of spirits. He is the Father of every recreated, regenerated human spirit. So when you as a Christian approach God in prayer, you should do so as you would a father. My father passed away in 2015, and Tabitha will tell you, he was my hero. I wanted to be like my dad, so much so that growing up, my dad, he had this problem where he walked duck-footed. I know what that is. He'd walk like that. And when Dad would walk like that, I'd just about twist my ankle, Brother Keith, to walk right in his footsteps because I wanted to be right behind him, you know, and I'd jump over and be right into his footsteps. And when we used to go around, Dad was in the car business, and we used to go around to the mechanic shops. His name was John. They used to call me Little John, or I was his shadow, because everywhere Dad went, I wanted to be in his shadow. And I found, it wasn't even in my notes, but I found the closer I got to Dad, the more I could get into his shadow, and I could hide in that shadow. I could be covered in that shadow. And it was interesting to me, because I do that a lot. You know, we as kids, we play around, you know. And I'd get in my dad's shadow, but I would get close enough, Brother Jim, to where you could only see my father. And when we pray, it's a relationship. We don't just come and say, now I lay me down to sleep. Amen. We used to do that as kids, you know. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You remember those whole prayers and the ones we used to say, you know, bless this food, bless this mess, whatever, however it goes, you know. But, you know, sometimes when we get into prayer, you ever just get completely lost in prayer? I mean, absolutely lost in prayer. And it's not about that you come to God with a need. It's that you just wanted to spend time with God. And that's really what prayer is just spending time with God. God, I lay myself out of the way, and I'll be honest with you. I'm big on, God, I want this to go this way and that to go that way. And if you could plan this to work out for me and that to work out for me, basically I want God to give me an easy day. I want him to give me an easy life. But you know what? God says, if you just trust me, I'll take you through the tough times to the easy times. Because sometimes, you know, we have to go around. My wife tells me all the time whenever I'm driving, she's like, you went around your elbow to get to your foot. Yeah, but we got there, didn't we? You know, eventually we got there, you know. But sometimes we do that on our prayer walk. You know, we talk to God and it's repetitious. God doesn't want us to be repetitious. If I go up to my wife and I tell her the same thing every day when I come home, guess what? After a while, she's going to silence. You tell me the same thing every day. There's nothing new to talk about. God wants to hear from you. He wants to hear your heart. He wants to know what's on your heart because he wants you to say it to him. Amen? And that's all about having a relationship with him. Don't come to God with fear, guilt, and condemnation. Don't approach God as though he had a rod in his hand, ready to smash you on the head for not being good enough. I think a lot of times we beat ourselves up. We look in the mirror and we think, you know what? We're just not good enough. You know? I just want to obey the Lord right here. You are good enough. You are good enough. You are worthy. And the fact of the matter is, God loves you. I was leaving from work today, and I had the radio off like I always do because there ain't no good stations I like to listen to between here and there. So I had the radio off, and I was thinking about that. There's a whole world full of people out there. The devil's telling them they ain't no good. They're not worth anything. They're not worth even the air that's wasted on them. But Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. If there's one thing that I know that I've learned ever since I've been in church since I was about 5 years old, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And no matter how big, Brother Jefferson, he always likes to pick about the other Sunday, he was standing beside me. He said, man, I like standing beside you. I said, why? He said, you make me look small. But no matter how big we get physically, he is almighty. He is the powerful one. Because we're going to come across things in our life. I hate to break it as a newsflash because everybody I'm looking at is a seasoned Christian. The Christian walk is not a cakewalk. It's not easy. It's also not for the faint of heart. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is right there with you. And he said he'll send the comforter with us. Amen? But you are worthy. You are worthy to go to talk to the Lord. In the back in the Bible days, they would take the priest. And the priest was the only one that could go into the Holy of Holies. And what they would do, they would tie a rope around the priest's foot. And they'd send him into the Holy of Holies. And if he wasn't good, if he wasn't spotless, God would strike him dead right there. And they'd hear it.
They'd have to, there goes another one, you know. Who are we going to vote in for our next priest? It ain't going to be me, you know. And the next priest would have to go into the Holy of Holies, and he would take that. But thank God that whenever Jesus gave up his life on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. The song says, he came down to my level when I couldn't get up to his. Thank God I can have an audience with the King, that I can go into the Holy of Holies. I was picking at Brother Tate. I wish he was here tonight. But I was picking at Brother Tate the other morning in Sunday school. And I said, Brother Tate, it's kind of like if you come over to my house for the first time and you just walk in there and go right into the refrigerator and start digging through whatever we got in the refrigerator. You don't just do that. And he said, I probably would. I said, well, you could because I know you, you know. But we have that authority to go in and to get whatever we ask for. I'm not going to go and ask God, God, give me a brand new Rolls Royce. Them things just look cool. I mean, they look cool. Brother Keith, you stand beside one of them things, and ooh, we hear that V12, brother. That ain't no V8. That's a 12, man. Telling you, that's right there. I feel God in that. And God's saying, what you going to do driving a $500,000 car? And I don't know. I'd be afraid to take it to Walmart, you know. But you know what? He gave me the air, Brother Allen, that I breathe today. And to me, that's worth more than any money in the world. When I come from the house and I come into Dallas on 278, they got the big billboard. It's got the lotto numbers on it, you know. And you know, I always tell Tavis, man, $300-something million, that's a lot of money, you know. But I thought, you know what? God gives us daily everything that we need. He meets our needs on a daily basis. I don't want to get too far off on that. I know. I got a limited amount of time. We got to hurry, so y'all got to listen fast. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God is your Father. Come to Him with boldness. My oldest son, he's funny in some of his ways he does. He'll text his mama when he gets off of work. He did it when we were heading to church. What's for supper, Mom? You know, what's for supper? And if Mom says, ask Dad, I'm getting the text within 2 seconds, you know. What are we eating for supper, Dad? You know, what do you want, son? You know why? Because he knows that I'm Dad. Because I've always been Dad. Because I've always been there for him. Because it's my responsibility to take care of him as his father. And God's going to take care of us. The song that Tabitha sung, why should I worry? Why should I fear? I was talking to one of my coworkers today, and she was talking about how she took a position in the front counter. And she told me, she said, Chris, I didn't know it was going to be this stressful. I said, stress? What are you talking about? I said, let me tell you something. There's days where I can literally feel the gray coming out of my hair. She's like, I'm going to be gray-headed. I said, yeah, you are. I'm telling you, you are. So if you could see pictures before and now, you're going to. But we worry and we stress and we, how can I make this and how can I do that? And a lot of the times, it's stuff that's completely out of our control. That if we'll stop and we'll say, Lord, I need you to take care of this situation. I need you to move in this situation. But a lot of times what we'll do, Brother Keith, is whenever the field goal kicker, you ever seen field goal kickers practice? Anybody can kick a field goal wide right and wide left. That's not hard to do. I can kick a field goal wide right and wide left. My mama can kick a field goal wide right. My grandma can kick a field goal wide right. But you know what gets you home? When you kick it straight down the middle. And that's when our prayers, what happens is we don't pray specifically. We pray, God, meet this need. But God wants us to pray specifically. What do you want? What needs to be done here? Specifically. See, what we're doing is we're just taking that football and we're just throwing it up in the air and hoping that it lands where it needs to land. But the quarterback, he practices and he practices and he practices. And if you ever watch, they go out in Hawaii and they throw it 50 yards and they hit a target that's that big, that's amazing to me. But we as Christians, we have that power, but we don't have it dialed in to where God wants us to pray. So what's he saying? He's saying, pray, Father, first of all, because he's our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The first thing that God is holy. He's holy before he is love. He's holy before he is mighty. He is holy. You said, Brother Chris, how do you know that? In the book of Revelations, the angels go around and they sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." The Bible says day and night, night and day they sing it. They never cease to stop saying that. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So we approach him as he is. He is holy. And if we approach him as he is holy, he makes us holy through him. Amen? Through his blood, he makes us holy. Let's get a little further in it. Secondly, Jesus makes it clear that our Father God resides in heaven. He is a geographical, heaven is a geographical location in the universal kingdom of God. There's such a place as heaven. I listened to a song the other day. It said, "I don't know what it's like to have gold underneath my feet, but one day I will." And I can remember growing up, we were poor. Poor. Like, we didn't have the R on the end, and we was poe. P-O-E. You know, if mama said we didn't have no money, we ain't had no money. You know, we was poe. So we had our good shoes we went to school with, good shoes you went to church with. You didn't have no play shoes. We had our bare feet. So, you know, I went everywhere with my bare feet, you know. And now I'm used to having shoes because we're not poor, we're poor now. We got the R on the end of it. So I can have shoes, you know. But now when I go to take the trash out, it's like, ooh, ooh, ooh. Anyway, one day when I get to heaven, I'm going to feel streets of gold. I'm gonna get to see Jesus face to face. I'm going to get to know him as he is. All right, I'll quit chasing rabbits now for a little bit. Thirdly, Jesus says for us to hallow God's name when we pray. Hallowed be thy name means holy and reverence is your name. God's name is to be reverenced, honored first before all else. This means you have to approach God with reverence, fear, humility, and worship. His name is worthy to be praised. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Anybody have somebody that when you have a prayer request, it's the first person you call? Man, I'm going to call that person. I'm going to text that person. Because if anybody's going to get a hold of heaven, it's that person. Somebody's got to have somebody like that in your life, whether you want to admit it or not. You do. It's your go-to person, right? Whether it's your spouse or a good friend of yours, whoever it might be. Somebody that can get a hold of God, right? And so you call them up and say, "Hey, I got this need, and I really need you to get a hold of God." I've been very blessed in my life. My mama was a praying woman. And I thank God for that. I tell you about her singing to me, and she still can't sing, and she knows it. But she still, you know, would try if I asked her to. Not in front of people, though. She doesn't do that. But she prayed for me. And it's amazing that a mother's prayer, I'm fixing to share a story with you, as a mother's prayer transitions to the wife, and the wife prays for me like my mama would. And I know she does. You know, I can tell. She doesn't have to tell me she's praying for me. I can feel it. Amen? And you have somebody like that, you just know that somebody's praying for you. You're having a bad day, and all of a sudden things just start to change. All of a sudden, it goes from stormy weather to being bright sunshine out, kind of like it did today. And you're like, "Wow, what happened?" Somebody prayed for you somewhere. Somebody hit their knees for God. In World War II, the American forces took over an island in the South Pacific. And this island was taken over, but it was still kind of hostile, a little bit hostile. And the crew of men that took it over, the captain wanted the American flag to fly. So they had a big flagpole in the middle of the island. So he would send a young man out to go put the flag up, and every time he would do that, the people would get shot, killed. Man, he sent three people out, and just in a few minutes, they were dead. So he cuts the crew together, and he says, "Look, guys, we have to put the American flag up over this island. That way we'll know what's going on, that the Americans had taken over this island. Who wants to volunteer?" Of course, everybody kind of looked down. One old boy from Arkansas, he raised his hand. He said, "Captain, I'll go." Captain said, "Well, get to it." He said, "You got to wait till 4:30. He said, "4:30? He said, "Sir, I don't mean 4:29, and I don't mean 4:31 or 4:32. But at 4:30, when that clock strikes 4:30, I'll go do it, and it'll be done. You sure? Yep, I'm sure. So they waited around a couple hours. 4:30 came along. Young man gets up. Just like all the other ones, the bullets start flying. Ding, 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 ding. None of them hit him. He walks casually up to the flagpole. Gets all the way up the flagpole, hangs the flag, comes down, just easy. Goes back in to the bunker. Captain said, "That's amazing. How in the world did you do that?" He said, "Well, sir, I'm just an old young man from Arkansas. I ain't never been out of Arkansas much." And he said, "I got drafted into the Army." He said, "I was scared to death." He said, "I ain't never been out of Arkansas." He said, "They sent me over to San Diego, and before I left, my mama came up to me and said, put her arm around me and said, 'Son, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter what the circumstances are, every day at 4:30, I'm going to be praying for you.'" He said, "Sir, I just had to wait till 4:30, and I knew everything was going to be all right." You see, it takes a little bit of faith to believe when somebody says they're going to pray for you, to believe it. Only believe, that's all you have to do. Only believe. We'll doubt ourselves to death, but if we pray, believing, we'll have it. Pray in faith, nothing doubting what the Bible says. Another story, this man in the 1800s, he was going to have his tightrope, and he went on a tightrope across the Grand Canyon. And as he put the tightrope up across the Grand Canyon, there was a big publicity stunt, you know, and everybody says, "Come see this amazing man who's going to walk across the Grand Canyon." Everybody's, "Wow," you know. So everybody gathers together, a whole crowd of people gathers together, and the man, sure enough, he walks all the way across the Grand Canyon on a tightrope, turns around backwards, walks all the way across, and everybody's just amazed. So he grabs one of those big old-timey television cameras, the big bulky ones, you know, and he walks across, halfway across there, and he's filming himself, and he walks back across, and everybody's just, "Wow, we knew you could do it. That's just awesome." So he gets a wheelbarrow, Brother Keith. He gets this wheelbarrow out, and he gets the wheelbarrow, and he goes across the canyon halfway, and he comes back across, and everybody says, "Wow, we knew you could do it. We knew you could do it. That was great. That was wonderful." And he said, "Since y'all believe so much, who wants to get in the wheelbarrow?" And everybody said, "Uh-uh, we're leaving. We're getting out of here." But see, that's the way prayer works. A lot of times we'll say, "God, we believe you can answer this prayer, but this one's too big for you. I can't let you handle this one, but I'll let you handle this one." Why do we do that to God? God hung the moon, and he hung all the planets, and he put them in orbit. He didn't ask me the last time I checked when the sun could set, when the sun could rise. I don't get an email from God every day saying, "Is it okay if I let there be a full moon today?" Because you know what happens on full moons? People go crazy. And it's the truth. They do. And I pray, "God, please don't let it be a full moon. I know it has to be a moon stage, but can you make it like a 3/4 or something?" You know? Y'all don't pray like that? I do. I need all the help I can get, you know? That's how we need to pray, is diligent. The Bible says, "Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." We've prayed for washing machines. We've prayed for refrigerators. We've prayed for dogs. I've seen her right there. The dog we had before that passed on was sick. And I've seen her get the oil out and pray for that animal. You say, "Brother Chris, that's silly." No, because if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. The thing that we're missing out on is we're not taking everything to God in prayer. We're taking most things to God in prayer. And we're saying, "God, I believe you can do partial of this and a partial of that." And God's saying, "If you just get it out of your hand and give it to me, I can peel a potato okay. You know, I'm all right at peeling potato. But if I hand that potato over to my mother-in-law, I'd guarantee you in just a second, she's going to have that thing done. And we're going to be eating some taters, you know, tater salad or whatever, you know. And I'm trying not to cut myself, you know. You know how us guys are. We're bad about cutting ourselves for some reason. But if I just let it over to her, but if I hold on to it and I say, "Here, peel this side and then peel that side," she's going to say, "Uh-uh, you got to let me have that." That's the way we are with God. God's saying, "You got to give it to me. You got to give it to me. You done made a mess out of this. You got to give it to me." I know we're running short on time, so I'm trying, okay? Jesus came, thy kingdom come. Jesus came to introduce the spiritual dimension of God's kingdom. Watch this. He came to establish the kingdom of God in the hearts of people. The word kingdom means the domain of a king or a king and his domain. Jesus wants you to pray for the kingdom to come in the hearts of people. Back there on the I guess you call it the foyer, the table that's in the foyer, I put some prayer calendars for the VBS. It's a 31-day prayer calendar. If you feel like and you want to, grab one. Put it on your refrigerator. But I ask if you grab one and you take it, I ask that you pray diligently for whatever's on that calendar for that day. We're going to believe God for souls to be saved and brought into the kingdom. It's not just going to be, you know, oh, it's a VBS. I want to see kids saved, Brother Keith. I want to see whole families saved. There's plenty of things out there for them to do that the devil's got them going down a dead-end road. But the Bible says that Jesus came that they could have life and have it more abundantly. If it means that we're going to be wore out, and I'm telling you, after VBS, everybody involved in VBS is like this for a few days. You know, Karen's already told me, she said, I'm going to have a steady stream of coffee to be up there doing that, you know. It's like, amen, sister, I hear that, you know. But you know what? It's not about us, and it's not about what we do. It's about seeing souls saved. It's about seeing the harvest come in. It's high time that we go and we start knocking on some doors and saying, hey, I just want to let you know that Jesus loves you. I just want to let you know there's a better way. I just want to let you know that you're welcome here because we're going to love on you. Amen? That's what people need to hear. And as you're praying for that, you say, oh, Brother Chris, I can't do much of anything, but you can pray. But you can pray. Get one of those calendars back there and pray. And I mean just diligently pray over them. If God leads you to fast over them, then do it. Fast over them. But I mean diligently pray for it. And we're just going to bathe this VBS thing in prayer. And I'm telling you, I am so excited that I'm just completely beside myself. You know, my boss asked me, because I took the whole week of VBS off. See, I'm trying to be smart, conserve my energy, you know. My boss says, what you going to do for that whole week? You going to go over here on vacation? You got to say, yep, we're going to go vacation Bible school. He said, oh. I said, and I'm excited about it too, you know. I'm excited because we're talking about bringing souls. Whenever Jesus said, thy kingdom come, he was talking about the kingdom that's coming in the hearts. Thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. If we surrender our will to God, we'll start seeing souls saved. If we'll take the label off of people and quit saying that they're not good enough or not worthy enough and open the doors and say, come on in, Jesus loves you. I told Tabitha, I said, it doesn't matter to me if they come and sit on this pew or wherever they go, as long as they come in, they get saved, and they go to church somewhere. They don't all have to come here, Sister Jennifer. They can go somewhere, but I'm believing. If you'll just believe with me, because my heart is stirred up about it, I'm telling you, and I believe that God's going to give us souls. I believe God's going to give us families. I believe we're going to see things through Vacation Bible School that's going to blow our minds, but how God's moving, amen? God's just going to draw them in and draw them in, and I always go back to one of my favorite movies is, what is it called? Field of Dreams, see? That's what, you know, right there. Field of Dreams, at the very end of it, whenever, you know, familiar with the movie Field of Dreams? At the very end, the guy stands up and he says, people will come. They won't even know why, but they'll feel a draw. And they'll come in, and they'll come in, they'll sit down, and they'll listen, and they'll watch. And I believe, Brother Keith, I'm just crazy enough to believe that that's the Spirit of God. I'm crazy enough to believe that God's going to do it, amen? And if just one person will believe with me, and I believe there's more than one, will believe with me, we're going to see miracles. Amen? And, you know, Sean was testifying the other day about a miracle, and I just had to listen to it again. And I told Tabitha about it. I said, honey, that was a miracle. What happened with Grace having a flat tire? God just worked it. I said, that's a miracle. You know, we think, man, God, when are you going to move? When are you going to write my name across the sky? If you'll stop and you look, he gives you a miracle each and every day. Because your heart beats, you're awake, you're alive, you have strength in your body, amen? All right, I'm moving on. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said for you to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You can readily see that the earth is nowhere close to heaven. Wars, plagues, pandemic, diseases, fraud, evil, and wickedness are the things that dominate this world as it is now. Go to Daniel chapter number 10. Daniel chapter number 10 and verse number 1. You may or may not know this story. Marker. Page number 868. Where's Brother Thomas at? 868, Brother Thomas. I know he's back there. Where is it at? In verse number 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes in verse 5 and looked, and behold, a certain man was clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. Skip down to verse number 6. His body also was like beryl with a golden luster. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and his feet like the gleam of burnished bronze. And the sound of his words was like the noise of a multitude of people or the roaring of the sea. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision of this heavenly being. Skip down to verse number 13. This gets good right here. Verse number 12, then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to your words. I had been studying this, and this passage of Scripture came to my mind. I studied it years ago. In other words, what happened was from the very first time, Brother Jim, that Daniel prayed, the answer was dispatched out of heaven, and it was coming. And just like Sister Jennifer saying, your prayers have been heard, and the answer is on the way. I was amazed at how God was lining all that up tonight, Sister Jennifer. The answer is on the way. But a lot of times, Brother Jim, we get weary. You see, Daniel, he was in a time to where things weren't going good. It was a bad time, similar to kind of what we're in right now. Didn't look too good. Everything didn't look good. I was telling Tabitha the other day, I said, you know, even though the stock market is doing good and everything looks good in the stock market, all you have to do is look at other things that scream out, this ain't very good. This ain't very good. But I'm telling you, it's not going to be much longer before Jesus comes back. Amen. But we got to pray. We got to be diligent. We got to hold on. We got to persevere. We got to push through. Nothing worth having comes easy. Amen. It's not easy. It's not easy to do that. The other day I was putting brake pads on the front of my car, and I'm used to the manual labor, Brother Keith, you know, get the four way out. You know, the lads bought him one of them little real real things, you know. And man, I'm telling you what, my life changed. That thing is, I jacked the car, what? Zipped the wheels off, and in less than 5 minutes I had my brake pads on. I mean, that was measuring everything up, you know. Put it back on. I thought, man, that was sure easy. But you know what? I'd appreciate it more if I worked for it, if I went through it. Sometimes the answer comes just like that when you pray. And sometimes you have to wait. But what I'm trying to say is God dispatched the answer from the very moment that you prayed the prayer. Sometimes we say, God, did you even hear what I said? I told you, you know, that's, if there's anything that'll strike fear in my heart is, you know, I'll be halfway awake or something, you know, sitting at the dinner table, and Tabitha will be talking to me. She said, did you hear what I said? I've learned real quick, don't try to make stuff up because you're making it worse. You know, don't, well, yeah, well, you were talking about, no, I wasn't. Where'd you even get that from? I don't, sorry, honey, I was half asleep over here, you know. But if we'll listen to God and we'll really tune in to what he has to say to us, I tell my coworkers a lot. I said, you know why God gave you one mouth and two ears? So you can listen twice as much as you talk. Don't try to tell God everything, because he's God. Amen. Listen to what he has to say. The wisest men that I've found in the Bible didn't say much, but they listened to God. They listened to what God had to say. Peter, he listened to God. He listened to what God had to say to him. Let's go a little bit further. I'm getting ready to close. But the prince, in verse 13, but the prince in the kingdom of Persia was standing in opposition to me for 21 days. I believe it was General MacArthur that said that the battles that are fought on the earth are first fought in the heavenlies. It's amazing if you think about it. In opposition for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief of the celestial princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is in regard to the days yet to come. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't give up because you think the answer hasn't come in the timing that you thought it was going to be. Don't get discouraged because you haven't heard God encouraging you. If I remember anything about school, a teacher was always the quietest during the test. God's right there. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. He's going to help you. But don't give up. Don't give up. There's too many people that walk in church doors on Sunday mornings, on Sunday nights, and even sometimes on Wednesday nights that give up. I'm just being real. And you want to tell them, if you'll just dig in, if you'll just dig in, there's better, but you got to push through. You got to push through. It's not always going to be a calm sea. Sometimes it's going to be rough waters. When the disciples were with Jesus in the boat, and they came to him and they said, Master, don't you care that we perish? He was in the same boat with them. And he had to rebuke them. And he stood on the bow of the boat. And he said, peace, be still. He didn't say, I command you peace and I command you waves. He just said, peace, be still. When Jesus comes on the scene, things change. And like I said with that shadow, once you get close enough in the shadow of God, and I was even talking to my coworker, you remember the middle seats they used to have in them old cars where you put your armrest down? I used to be small enough to sit on them things. And I would sit right there, and I had my arm on my dad's shoulder right there. Anywhere, I'm telling you, I was bad. Anywhere my dad went, I had to go. That was my hero. But you know what? I found that there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that I can go to in time of need, and it's not just in time of need, but I can talk to him, and I can say, Lord, I need you today. I need you to help me. More often than not, I've been praying lately, God, I don't know what the day holds, but you do, and I ask you to help me. I ask you to be with me. In the middle of the night, we can pray for our loved ones. He gives us peace. He gives us a restful night. Because he loves us. We shouldn't say, oh, it's just going to be another restless night. No. I can't tell you how many times I've asked that lady right over there, that one. I said, honey, pray for me. And she doesn't take it lightly. She's done the same to me. Honey, pray for me. You know why? Because there's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. And if the music, if you want to come, and Brother Jim, if you'll come. If you have a need in your life tonight, this altar, of course, it's never been closed, but this altar is open. We'll pray with you and we'll believe with you. If you have a need on the live stream, if you'll post it in the comments section of prayer request, we're always real good about going back, and we'll put them on our church text blast, and we'll get the whole church to pray for the need, because we know that God is able. Amen. Like to see.
Jesus loves me.
God is great and greatly to be praised. And as Brother Chris, thank you for the word tonight, and we thank God for his word. Lord, as I say it many, many times, just forgiving us the opportunity to gather in his name, but most of all, for his word to come forth. You know, as we look back at the Old Testament and you look at the way it was, they'd go to the synagogue, but it would be to hear the word. And that's exactly what we've had the option to do. Prayer is powerful. But are all hearts and minds clear? We love each and every one of you. Thank you for being with us tonight. All of you watching online, I know our pastor's watching. We want to say continue to have the rest of the week and just enjoy it with your family. And as we get ready to dismiss, let's continue to keep those prayer needs on our heart as we lift them up to God, and we're going to pray together. Our most gracious and heavenly God, we just love you. Thank you, Father, for all you do. Lord, as we come to you now and we prepare to depart, Lord, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the messages brought forth. Lord, we thank you for the love that we feel, dear Lord, in this house, dear Lord. It's because of your spirit. Lord God, you are love, and we just praise you. Lord, we ask you to keep us safe. Lord, as we prepare to depart, just bring us back at our appointed time. And, Lord, thank you for the children's church, the young people that were outside. Lord, we just love and praise you, and we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Have a wonderful rest of the week. See y'all at Sunday school Sunday morning. Praise God.